the right material? Do you like to have the latest iPhone with the coolest app so you can actually control your AC at home while you're at work? I actually worked with a gentleman who was bragging and showing us how he could do that. Do you want to keep up with the Kardashians? Is that really something that you want to do? Do you want to be cool in school? Do you have to have the nicest car in the parking lot? Do you have to have the cleanest house around, the envy of all your neighbors? Do you have to have that promotion at work no matter who you step on to get it? Do you love to see the latest dance moves, Beyonce or Kanye or Jay-Z or someone else? The question is, do you care about fitting in to this world? That's an easy answer. It's easy to say no. Because right now you're sitting in church, and everyone around you expects you to say no. But what do you do when you're not here? What do I do when I'm at work? Do I act like a Christian? Actually, no, I asked that question wrong, because I said, do you care about fitting in this world? That's not the right way to ask the question. This is the right way to ask the question. Do you care about fitting into this God-forsaking, Bible-hating, Christian-bashing, sinful world? Because that's what it is. Is that what you want to fit into? Is that what you and I want to be a part of? I think God has other ideas. And one of the places we can go, we can start by looking at a few verses first. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It would help if I were in Matthew chapter 6. 5 doesn't qualify. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus has been teaching, driving home a point. All through chapter 6, he's using a new term for them. Thy Father, our Father, your Heavenly Father. Showing a new personal relationship. Because the Jews had warmed him the mind that he's God. He's out there. He's something to be worshipped. Jesus is now drawing them in to a closer relationship. And look what he says here, starting in verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, he'd use them, the lilies, as a way to compare and contrast with the glory that Solomon had. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now remember, here we have the general breakup of believers, Jews, and Gentiles, non-believers. So as non-believers, they seek for what they can put in their belly, what they can drink, what they can wear. Things. Gotta have things. But look at the last part of verse 32. If you're a believer, this is what Christ wants us to focus on. If you're a believer, look at the last part of verse 32. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. That's very interesting. He knows that we need these things, and yet we go chasing after them. They become our focus. Shame on us. Let's look at another verse. Turn over to Matthew chapter 13. Not too far. I was so cold this morning, my bones did not even want me to get out of bed. They're still arguing with me. It If you think I'm taking a while to turn, thank you. If you think I'm taking a while to turn pages, it's because of the fact that my hands are stiff. Matthew chapter 13. Look at verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is actually using now the parable of the sower, the parable of the seed. And in this one particular part, notice that the care of this world, the need for what the world has for perspective in your life and mine, that's what choked out the word. It's basically like this. They received the word, and I got to go do this. And there's the word. It's choked out. It's left behind. That's the essence. But there's more. Turn with me to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, the next book over, chapter 4. Mark 4. Look at verse 19. Well, this is interesting. This is again the parable of the sower. Another book of the Bible, another gospel, and yet the same parable. Look at verse 19. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Look at Luke chapter 8. The next book over. Luke chapter 8. Again, the parable of the sower. Verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And there's another one. You could think about it like this. Remember, you have three different authors here. You have three different books of the Bible. It's all God's Word. But the Holy Spirit knew that you and I needed it enough that it's in here three times. The very same thing. So I ask you again, what do you care for? What is it that you focus on? What is it that you pay close attention to? Is it things of the world? Are you worried in your day-to-day life? Are you more worried about how you look and present yourself to others than whether or not they see Christ in you? Are you more worried about being accepted by them, to fit in with them so that you don't feel uncomfortable and out of place, than whether or not they see Christ in you? You know, someone here could be very convicted by this. I know I was just writing these notes down. And I hope that's true. Because no Christian should ever be comfortable and content with where they are in their walk with the Lord. They should realize there's still a work in progress. They need to be more like Christ. And today we find the world headed up by Satan, doing everything it can to steal your and my attention and have us focus on it and what it provides and what it can do for us and how it can enrich our lives. It wants us, it draws us, it pulls us away from the Word of God and Him. On purpose. Because that's exactly what Satan wants. Do you care about fitting into this world? this God-forsaking, Bible-hating, Christian-bashing, sinful world? Or do you care about God, the things of God, the people of God? There's a big difference. And I can only ask the question. But the Holy Spirit can work on your heart. You can actually feel a tug at your heart right now, and you can realize, that's what I do. I love watching those things. I love watching that. I love doing that. I love going there. I'm so concerned with that. And that's exactly what the problem is. Christians today worry more about fitting in than standing apart. For over half a century, this church, by the grace of God, has stood here preaching one consistent message, month after month, year after year. Separation. Separating yourself from sin, wherever it is. Whether it's in the world or in a believer who's walking outside of God, outside of Christ, walking a wrong path. Separate yourself. Why? The very same reason that Moses drew the line in sand. So that there would become an identity. Do I want to identify with the world, with the things that they provide, with what the world says is cool, what the world says is good? Do I want to identify with false religion? Or do I want to stand with the God of the universe? Do I want to step across that line and be known as different? Do I want to stand with God and be laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, maybe even passed over for a promotion, maybe terminated, maybe shunned? Is that the type of thing that I want to do? Are you willing to turn your back on the lure of the world and be an outcast? Anybody could say anything they want to for an answer in this room. And you could lie and no one would know it. But the Holy Spirit would know. So the question is, put out there, for you and for me. Because the Holy Spirit is going to bring that to your mind later today, later this week. How much do you care about me? How much are you willing to give up? What is it about this world that you want to have so much? That you want to be a part of so badly? That's exactly what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit knows what you and I need, and He's not done with us yet. We're still a work in progress. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise Your holy name, Lord, for this wonderful piece of Scripture. We know there's more verses yet to come, Lord, and we, Heavenly Father, we just know that You have something for us to understand, Lord. That so many times where we get drawn away by the lure of what's out there, Lord, on television, on radio, through personal contact with other people, Lord, Christians and non-Christians, Lord, and we're drawn away from the holiness and the purity which is You. We pray, Heavenly Father, this day that You would help us, Lord, speak to these lips of clay, Heavenly Father, this sinner standing before all sinners in their seats. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You would convict us, Lord, and help us to realize our condition before You. We thank You for Your love, Lord. Even on a cold morning like this, Lord, we know that You loved us so much, Lord, that You sent Your Son to die for us. You hated us so much that You had to have something done. Sin must be punished. The soul that sinned did must die. You hated us so much, Lord, that we had to die because of our rebellion against Thee. But the very same moment, with the very same heartbeat, You loved us so much. You said, my son will give his life for them. A sinful and rebellious creation. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you loved us that much. We pray that you continue to be with us this day, Lord, as we study your word. Help us to grow to be more like Christ. We pray, Lord, for all of those who could not be among us today, Lord. We know there are several that are sick. We know Miss June, Lord, has passed on to be in thy presence, Lord, and we understand, Lord, what a glorious event that is. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done in her life and how she's ministered to many of us through many years, Lord. We pray, Lord, Heavenly Father, that we can honor her memory, Lord, and serve others as she did. We pray also, Lord, that you continue to be with us this day. Help us to grow to be more like Christ from the standpoint that we can turn around and serve others. We can change to be what we need to be for thee. Not because of some heady, high-minded idea, but because of a Holy Spirit-led change of heart. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love for us and the fact that you gave us your word, which is always true. It never changes, never goes out of style. It's been preserved in thousands upon thousands of documents, Lord, down through the centuries, written by so many different authors, Lord, and it's just as true today as tomorrow's newspaper. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for that. We pray also, Lord, that you'd be with those who are missing from our midst, Lord, who are out of town for surgeries and visiting family, Lord, because of medical needs, or unavailable to be here, Lord, because of illness in their own lives. Lord, we just pray that you'd raise them up, Lord. Draw them back to us, Lord. Give them back to us, Lord, as you see fit in your time. We pray that you'd be with the doctors as they work on those lives, Lord. Give them the right knowledge, the speed and accuracy of hands, Lord, to do that which is right in thy sight. Because we know, Lord, that no matter what happens to us, from the smallest, tiniest little thing, Lord, to the most grandiose surgery or whatever, that you're in absolute control, Lord. You can rule and overrule. We pray also, Lord, for the missionaries that this church has taken on to support for so many years. We thank you, Lord, for the ones that we have endeavored, Lord, to be a part of their ministry in faraway lands, Lord, to make sure that every heart that wants to know of thee has that opportunity. We just pray, Lord, that you continue to strengthen them, that you would help them, Lord, meet their every need. We ask, Lord, that you raise them up, Lord, open new doors unto them for spreading the word, getting the gospel out. And likewise, Lord, us, as we go through our day-to-day lives here in this town, in towns around us, Lord, in our places and areas of work, Lord, that you would open doors for us, Lord, to speak of thee, to show forth Christ, so people can see a difference in us, and that difference is Jesus Christ, not some religion, not some theory, not some agnostic idea of what is and isn't, Lord, but the truth of God, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with us. Give us strength, Lord, to be little lighthouses in a dark and sinful world. We ask also, Lord, that you bless those who are among us today for the first time or returning after some time, Lord. We know, Lord, there's no accidents. No one is here, Lord, just because they thought they might come today, Lord, that you again rule and overrule. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd be with us, that you'd help us, Lord, as this group, Lord, that you bring new hearts unto us, those who have heart for the truth. We don't want to be a church of 5,000, Lord, who don't know anything of thee and walk hither and yon as we see fit, Lord. We want to be a remnant who's focused and set upon thy word. We pray these things for God's glory and Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Martina. Is that little Jacob that's fussing? Is he upset because of the fact it's so cold? It's not supposed to be this cold in Florida? I like him. I think he's a smart kid. He's got it right. This will be my first chance to actually lay eyes on him, so I'm looking forward to seeing him in there. Turn with me as we look at another piece of Scripture. We talked about in the first half of today's message, today's sermon, for lack of a better word, what do you care for? What do you pay close attention to? What is it that you focus on? Let's read a few other verses. Let's see what God has to say about this. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. The purpose of this message is not to make you feel good about being in church today. The purpose of this message is not to make you feel like, oh, okay, that was interesting. Glad I heard that. The purpose of this message today is to make you realize that it's too easy for you and for me to do the wrong thing. To take our focus off of our Savior. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll start with verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's where the title for the message came from. What do you care for? Because God cares for you. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And that is absolutely true. But you could change that and not do any disrespect to the world whatsoever. "For God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son." Try that sometime. The next time you feel upset, the next time you feel like you're up on your high horse and you're so cool and you're so proud and you can do whatever it is you want to do in this world. And God loved you so much. God loved me so much that He let His Son die for me. Look back at a few pages to the book of Philippians. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. He wrote some very interesting words, not by chance. A lot of people tend to forget that the Holy Spirit inspired this book. This is God-breathed. There is nothing here that is by accident. There's nothing here that we don't need. We need every bit of it, every word of it. Look what Paul writes to the church of Philippi in chapter 4, verse 10. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful," meaning full of cares, "but you lacked opportunity." Here we have an example of us being careful, having care for other Christians. But there's more. Turn back a couple pages. Philippians chapter 2. Here's a bit of sadness in here, starting with verse 19 to 20 in Philippians 2. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." We asked the question earlier, do you care about God, the things of God, the people of God? Here's examples from Paul of where we're supposed to be doing that. Turn back to Luke. We were in Luke earlier. Turn back to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 21. We have a warning here from Christ. It's a good warning. It's an apropos warning for today, for 2016. A lot of people don't understand that. How can this be written in AD 33, roughly, and yet it be applicable to 2016? Look at the words in verse 34 of Luke 21. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged," which means burdened. You could also think of overwhelmed, "with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares." Notice he's using the word there, take heed, because you can be overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. How much does God care for you? That's a good question. But you'd also think of it in another way. Sometimes if you change the way you put the emphasis on words, it changes the intensity. how much does God care for you? Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Too many times people, the Bible, so what? We were in Matthew chapter 6 earlier. We were looking at verses 31 through 33. But if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, look at verse 8. A lot of people know, and they've maybe even memorized verses 10 through 13, the Lord's Prayer. But they know nothing about the rest of the chapter. They know nothing about what Christ said leading up to it. And what we want to see is here in verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Who's the them? All the people he's been referencing in the verses preceding, from verse 1 through 7. How the people care about things, how they're hypocrites, how they worry about this and the other thing, how they make grandiose prayers to be seen because they want to be prideful. Look at me. He says, Christ says to them, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask them. So the question again, how much does God care for you? He knows what you need before you do. We made mention of it in the opening services some time ago, many months ago, when we were talking about these verses in Matthew chapter 6. The Lord was trying to show them that now they have a relationship with God. He's our Heavenly Father. He's like right here beside us. Not pushing, not dragging. He's beside us. And as we walk through life, we could make the mistake of saying, I can take care of this, I can do this myself, and leave Him back here. Or we could look at the circumstance and say, Lord, I can't handle this. And turn to Him. And let Him pour all the blessings into our lives that He wants to. Notice He's not ramming them down our throats. He's waiting. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father. Sometimes we as humans don't have good fathers. Sometimes we as humans aren't good fathers to those around us, our kids. And we know it, unfortunately, and we have to deal with that regret. But we have a Heavenly Father who's perfect, who never does anything too soon, too late, too much, too little. He's always on time. Look also in Matthew chapter 10. How much does God care for you? He knows what you need before you even know it yourself. In Matthew chapter 10, we have these verses. Again, Jesus teaching, instructing them. Starting with verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Who is it we're dealing with? The one who can actually wipe out the remembrance of you. How many people know who was in Sodom and Gomorrah? How many people live there? How much money do they have? How many sheep and oxen did they have and camels? Who was in charge? Who was the mayor, the governor of the area? Nobody knows. It's gone. The memory of them has been wiped out. That's how thorough God is in His judgment. But let's go on. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? A farthing at this time period when this was written in Old England was one of the smallest denominations of money. A little bit more than one penny, what we call one penny today. Two sparrows are sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Jesus knows, God knows when every sparrow falls. But He's not done. Verse 30. but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Think about that. I want to word it this way. God knows every single detail of every single aspect of every single part of your life. He knows your fears, your hopes. He knows your regrets, your joys, your dreams, your needs, your thoughts, your desires. How much does God care for you? He is into every part of your life. He knows you better than you know yourself. So now we have another question. Like we mentioned before, if you're not going to care about this world, then what are you going to care about? Who are you going to care about? If you dare to call yourself a Christian, if you want to put that moniker on you, if you want to walk around and say, yeah, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Hindu, I'm not Buddhist, I'm not Zoroastrian, I'm a Christian. What does that mean? If it's just a label that you put on yourself so people know that you're not Muslim or you're not Buddhist or you're not Hindu, that means nothing. It means it's worthless. It means absolutely nothing. You could call yourself, I'm dead. Because that's what you are. Dead in trespasses and sins. But if you want to put a moniker on you, if you want to say, I'm a Christian because I'm saved, because I'm alive forevermore, because Christ died for me on the cross of Calvary, because I've received that free gift, and now I'm different on the inside. If that's the reason why you want to put that moniker on you, if you want to call yourself a Christian, if you care about the things of God, such that you want to make sure that when you live your life from day to day, you're doing what God wants you to do, and people can see God in you, now we're talking about something different. Now we're talking about the right kind of life. What do you care about? Do you care about the world, or do you care about God? This is not a question for those who are not saved and need to be saved. This is not a question for those who are just walking about day to day calling themselves a Christian. This is a question for Christians right now. How are you living your life? Are you living your life for you? Am I living my life for me? Or am I living my life for Him? Because He cares so much for us. We made mention of it earlier. When Christ had to give His life on the cross of Calvary, that was absolutely 100% necessary. Because God hated us. Because all of us are sinners. All of us have rebelled against Him. We're all sinful from the very start. Even as adorable as little Jacob is, he was born with a sin nature. And when he gets old enough, he'll learn how to lie very easily because it'll come natural to him. He'll learn how to steal. He'll learn how to rebel against what mommy wants him to do. Even in his high chair, he'll close his mouth and he'll push back. He doesn't want to eat what she wants him to eat. Because that's in us. We don't have to be taught how to do that. It comes naturally. The natural man. But what do we need to do? We need to be saved. We need to realize that at the cross of Calvary, when God hated us so much that we had to die, He also loved us so much that He let His Son die for us. everyone in here who is a parent who has a little one, or even maybe a little bit bigger one, would you be willing to let your child leave your home, go to a foreign land, and die for you? Die for that enemy. Because that's what we were. We were enemies to God. Paul writes about that. Christ died for us while we were actively hating and rebelling against God. And He still died for us. And God still wanted that to happen. That's how much He cares. Is there anything then that's too needful for us to pay attention to in this world? Is there anything then that is stronger than that to draw us to what Satan wants? We have an enormous debt to pay. We will never be able to pay that off. But we can try. And that's where it comes. That's where the rub is. Living your life in such a fashion that you try little by little by little by little to pay God back for what He's done for you and for me. You'll never be able to complete it. That's not the idea. A lot of people want to complete something. They want to finish something. They want to be able to say, I did it. You can't. But you can try little by little. You can pay Him back by little acts of love, little acts of showing care for others. Living your life where what happens with Beyonce or Jay-Z doesn't matter. Living your life where you're not the coolest person in school because it doesn't matter. Living your life where people at work think, he's weird. He's a Christian. But that's okay. That's what we need to be doing. That's where our focus needs to be. That's what we need to care about, is things of God. So I ask you this last question. He cares for you day in, day out, and especially you can see at the cross of Calvary. But do you and I care for Him? I can answer that for you. That's between you and Him. That's for the Holy Spirit to impress upon your heart. Do you care for God? Do you care for the things that He cares about? Do you want to live a life for Him? I pray so. If you call yourself a Christian, you're at least trying to pretend like it. The pretending is not going to get you to heaven. Neither are these acts here. Knowing Christ here means that you'll know who He is when you're in hell. Knowing Christ here means you'll be with Him in heaven. You can miss heaven by 18 inches. Some people try to get to it, try to attain it, and they can miss by 18 inches. If you know about Him here and don't have Him here, you're as good as dead already. Because you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise Your holy name, dear Lord. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your word is always true. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You be with us now, Lord, that You would help us to go forth from this place with this conviction, Lord, in our hearts of realizing, Lord, how short we fall before Thee every day. There is none good, no, not one. For all has sinned and come short of the glory of God, meaning we are coming short over and over and over. We'll never get there. We can't be saved. We can't come into Thy home in the presence of Thy throne on our own merits, Lord. It had to be through the purchased redemption, purchased with blood, Christ's blood. Help us, Heavenly Father, to realize that without that in our lives, Lord, we have nothing. Nothing to show for You. We pray, Lord, if we have made that decision, Lord, if we have said yes to Jesus, and we are a new creature on the inside, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'll become a new creature on the outside. that will live more for you, care more for you during 2016 than we ever have before. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be what you'd have us to be. For God's glory, in Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.